Namavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text Number 33. Ambaha tu yatrita udara viryam sidyanti jivanti uta vardamana loka yata ata akila loka pala prasidatam naha saha mahavibhuti. Ambastu yadreta udara viryam. Siddhyanti jivantyuta vardamanam. Lokayato takila lokapala. Prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti. Ambustu yadreta udara viryam. Siddhyanti jivantyuta vardamana. Lokayato takila lokapala. Prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti. Ambastu yadreta udara viryam. Siddhyanti jivantuta vardamana. Lokayato takila lokapala. Prasidatam nasa mahavibhuti.
Please chant. Ladies, please.
Amba. The masses of water seen on this planet or on others. Two, but yat retaha his semen udara viryam so powerful sidyanti are generated jivanti live uta indeed vardamanaha flourish loka all the three worlds yata from which ata also akila loka palaha all the demigods throughout the universe prasidatam may be pleased naha upon us saha he mahavibhuti a person with unlimited potency. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water, and it is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. Please repeat. The entire cosmic manifestation has emerged from water. And it is because of water that all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such great potency, be pleased with us. Purport. Despite the theories of so-called scientists, the vast quantities of water on this planet and on other planets are not created by a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen. Rather, the water is sometimes explained to be the perspiration and sometimes the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from water that all living entities emerge. And because of water, they live and grow. If there were no water, all life would cease. Water is the source of life for everyone. Therefore, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have so much water all over the world. Except in California. Aginati miranda syagananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the water that we receive is either the semen or the perspiration of the Supreme Lord. I don't know the evidence in which it shows that it is the semen, but it is clear that the perspiration comes from the Supreme Lord, because we know that in earlier pastimes, when Lord Bhamanadeva, he took three steps, actually took two steps, one which covered the whole material universe, the middle planetary systems, and the second one covered the upper planetary system. And in the course of covering the upper, his toe crashed through the covering of the universe. And when it crashed through, what happened was that water came leaking down into this universe. Now, what was that water? That water is known as the perspiration of Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, otherwise known as Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu rests in his own perspiration, and that perspiration forms an ocean called the Vidija River or the Karana Ocean. And it is the dividing point between the spiritual world and the material world. So those on one side of it is the material world, and those on the other side is the entrance to the spiritual world. So that water which comes down is known as the Ganges River. And that's why it is considered to be so holy, because of the fact that it actually comes from the body of the Supreme Lord. It comes from the foot of the feet of the Supreme Lord. It is not mere water. So it is more than just H2O. It is truly a blessing. And it comes down to the upper planetary systems, moves through into the middle planetary systems, and then flows down into the lower planetary systems, so that actually all planetary systems have the opportunity to bathe in the water of the perspiration of the Supreme Lord. In the upper planetary systems, or the heavenly planets, it is often referred to in a different name, the Mandakini, I believe it is called. And here it is the Ganges River. So as I've just said, that it is a great blessing to receive that. Now one may ask, if one is thinking in hygienic terms, why would the Lord want to bathe in his perspiration? You see, this is a materialistic type of thinking. Who would want to bathe in his perspiration? Generally, take a shower or a bath to get rid of the perspiration so that the body can be clean. But the Lord is not in that category. Actually, perspiration can have an unpleasant odor because it carries out with it not only fluid, but it also carries out the impurities of the body, and consequently, they don't always smell like lotuses and lilies. So, therefore, the deodorant industry was created. That was, of course, to cover up any unpleasant or unfortunate odors, so that persons can navigate through their jobs without being looked at, or people wearing clothespins on their nose so that they don't have to smell the odious odor. So the important point is that when we talk about Lord Vishnu, we talk about Lord Krishna, we are talking about a totally different entity. We're not talking about external energy. We're talking about transcendental energy. We're talking about the Supreme Lord. We're talking about He who is all fragrance, all love, all sweetness. It is mentioned over and over again in these texts, the fragrance that Lord Krishna carries, the fragrance of Lord Vishnu. So when they perspire not an unpleasant odor. It's actually a perfume odor. And many different flowers are mentioned which express that particular odor. So therefore, when one gets near the Lord, one does not want to hold his nose. Actually, he wants to get closer, because it is so fragrant and so appealing and so attractive. And so that is the indication there. Similarly, Lord Krishna, his fragrance is known all over. In fact, all the fragrances that we see in the different flowers, especially the intense flowers like the gardenias and the nagchampas. In fact, right in front of my window, I have a nagchampa tree. It's one of the most fragrant flowers in this world. It's just a little yellow flower, and they make incense out of it. In fact, the incense companies, they plant literally hundreds and thousands of them. And it is so intense, so fragrant, that if you keep smelling it, you definitely become intoxicated. So if anybody wants to get an idea of what a very intoxicated flower is, that particular, it's a little yellow flower, by the way, called a nagchampa, often referred to in the Krishna book as the champaka flower. And so it's very nice to use. I noticed that in the morning when I go out to look for the flowers, because they are now, right now, they're in bloom, that the devotees get here very early in the morning, and they take them and they offer them to the deities here, which is actually the proper person, proper beings who should receive that intense flower, because actually those fragrances are coming from the Supreme Lord. So now we have this situation here, and I'd just like to just recount it momentarily. Firstly, the person who is speaking, or the person who is offering these prayers, is Lord Brahma. And the reason he's offering prayers, he's offering those prayers to the Supreme Lord. And the reason he's offering those prayers is because the demigods have fallen onto hard times. Hard times means that the demons have challenged them to a fight, and they have vanquished the demigods, pushing them out of their positions and pretty much making them into worthless, useless persons, because they no longer can manifest the duties that they have been given by the Supreme Lord, such as making rain, or as he said, making water and the sunshine and so forth. So the demons, they take over these positions until the demigods can reclaim the positions by virtue of the assistance and the help of Lord Vishnu. So initially, when the demigods lost their opulence, they lost their power, they lost their possessions. But why did they lose it, though? I mean, does anybody remember back to the incident that caused them to lose it? You remember that? Okay, anybody want to mention it? Yeah, go ahead. Now you have to tell me. Yes, yeah. Good. Let's everybody hear it. Go ahead. No, talk loud, yes. Yeah. Yes, that's perfect. Perfect. Thank you for that nice answer. That's exactly it. What happened was that Indra, being the head or chief of the demigods, as we know from other pastimes, when you're a chief, when you're a head, there's a great tendency and a great temptation to feel important, to feel powerful, to feel great, to feel glorious. After all, everyone is bowing down to you. Everyone is throwing their arms up at you. Everyone is begging you for blessings. Everyone is favoring you. Everyone is complimenting you. It's a kind of like a win-win-win-win situation where nobody says anything bad or evil or wrong about you. This is the most dangerous position a devotee can ever be in, especially you have a position and you feel important, and people depend upon you. And when people depend upon you, it gives you a very heady feeling. Remember, we all came into this world for one main purpose. That purpose is to be a lord in this universe. To be a lord, to be a master, to be a teacher, to be a guide, to be a director. To be in a position of ordering, pointing a finger at, why did you do this? To be an authority. To establish authority. So because we want this, we want to experience what it's like to be some kind of a lord, whenever that position comes to us, what happens, that is the time we truly forget the real lord. Because you come here to be a lord, and now you're becoming a lord, and everybody is assuring you, through their compliments and through their adorations and through their praises, that yes, you are a lord. So therefore, the natural tendency is to think that you're important, that you're wonderful, that you're great, and that you can do whatever you like to do. As it was mentioned in the class, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, in Sura's class, yes, one particular individual, he got a little power. He was a sannyasi, and he had people under him, so therefore he can change things. Srila Prabhupada mentioned over and over again, he says, you Western boys and girls, he says, you have a very strong tendency to change things even when they don't have to be changed. Because it gives us the power of control. It gives us the power to dictate, the power to, okay, it was done this way then, but now I'm here, so we'll do it my way. And then we see everybody doing it my way. It gives one a sense, a headier feeling that, yes, just see, they're doing everything my way. I'm in control. I'm in power, and so forth like that. So this is very dangerous. So anyone who's in a position of power has to actually, pray very hard to the Supreme Lord and all the great saints and sages to be divested of those types of feelings, of that kind of pride. It comes automatically. It comes naturally. But when we actually pray to the Lord, I am nothing. I am no one. I am nobody. I have nothing. Whatever I have has come from you, my Lord. Whatever praises I am getting is coming from you. Whatever glorification is coming to me, it's coming from you. And the only reason I'm receiving it is you're giving me your grace. And you can take that grace away at any given moment. So therefore, I'm walking on a tightrope, so to speak. Please sustain me. Please maintain me. Please enable me to continue doing your service with the feeling, the full-out feeling that I really have done nothing, I am nothing, I know nothing, I have nothing, I want nothing except pure love for your lotus feet. And if I begin to think I'm you, if I begin to think that that I am the controller, I am the doer, I'm the person whom everyone is depending upon, then all will be lost and I will lose whatever you have given to me. These gifts will be gone. And I will have to cut a sorry figure as a result. So this kind of praying has to be done by anyone in any type of a position. And even if you don't have a position, you have to pray that way. So that if you do get a position, you do get people looking up to you, honoring you, glorifying you. You will always answer in a humble way. Humble way means that you see all beings as equal to yourself, because we are all living entities. We are all souls. And while there are differences in advancement, that is not such an important point except from the point of view of etiquette, from the point of showing respect and the showing honor, and that must be done. But from the internal point of view is we are all spirit souls. We are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are all his children. So there is no reason for me to feel larger or bigger or greater or higher or better than anyone else, because I am in a position which dictates that I can order people, I can tell people, I can direct people. That is no basis, that is no reason for me to think I'm somehow better, superior, or greater. So when we actually are in that so-called greater, bigger, that is the time when we have to think of ourselves as smaller, as worthless, as insignificant, as nobodies, and everything that we have, everything we've gained, everything that has come to us has come through what? The mercy of Krishna. If you have some talent, you have some ability, Krishna says, I am the ability in man. So if he's the ability, he's leaking some of his ability into us. And we are manifesting it. But because we want to be the Lord, we think that because I have made an endeavor, it is the result of my endeavor that I am manifesting this ability, this talent, or this excellence in some particular field. No, completely wrong. The only reason we're manifesting it is Krishna is allowing us to do that. He's allowing us to do it. He's enabling us to do it. He's arranging for us to do it. He's making all sorts of plans invisibly. And as a result or as a consequence, we see the visible, but we don't see what's behind it, the invisible, the hand of God. And the more we begin to think that we're important, we're great, we're wonderful, and the more we begin to think like that, slowly but surely, we begin to make more and more offenses against other devotees, talking in a rude way, talking in an offensive way, talking condescendingly, talking in a way in which they're disparaged, talking in a sarcastic way. These are ways and means by which persons are, we try to put them down to reassure ourselves that we are big, we are great, we are wonderful, we are high. So if I'm putting you down and then you're going like this, then I'm getting that, oh yes, just see this person, he's bowing down to me. He's putting his palms together because of me. This is madness. But it does take place in all of us at some point in time. I know it takes place in myself. I have to catch myself. And this is the grace of the Lord. When you catch yourself feeling arrogant, feeling condescending, thinking that because you have something that somebody doesn't, it's very tempting. So one has to not only be on his guard, but he has to be pounding his head. I am nobody. I am nothing. I am worthless. I am useless. And whatever is manifesting from me that is opulent, that is glorious, that is wondrous or wonderful, is coming from the most wonderful person, Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, who in some manner or other is asking or has asked Krishna to bless me, and therefore credit must be given to the spiritual master who has blessed me. And as a result of his blessings, I have gotten the spiritual master's blessings, as it is mentioned in the Guruvastika prayers, the last ones. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, let me offer my humble obeisances. Therefore, at least three times a day, let me offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Of course, no one is limited to three times. In case you want to do it 10 times, that's okay. That's not a problem. Krishna or Srila Prabhupada will not object to that. It is a good thing to do, to always have the mood of obeisances. And what does obeisances mean? Obeisances means not only that I respect you, but I'm obliged to you. You've given me something. I've received something from you. And that something is so precious. It's such a treasure. And it is the result of your grace. In spite of the fact that I have many faults, I have many impurities, I have many many bad qualities. In spite of that fact, you ignore them, you overlook them, and you put on you put in your main frame of reference the service that I perform, which is so little and so insignificant. But you keep it in your mind because service to you is everything. This is how the Lord looks at it. I know you have impurities. I know you have failings. But as long as you are performing your devotional service and you're doing it with all your heart and soul and might and mind, if you're doing that, that's all I ask for. And through that process, you will become purified. And that purification will enable you to then manifest or express fewer and fewer of your faults. If you lack, for example, if you don't speak nicely, or maybe you're very crude, or maybe you have a tendency to lie, or maybe to steal, don't worry about that. I will help you overcome those. This is how the Lord is dealing with us. All the impurities, all the faults, all the wrongs that we are heir to as a result of the environmental bringing up and as a result of our past activities, all that will be overcome. But we must be patient. We have to be patient because that is the way it comes. If we are impatient with ourselves and when we lose it or we blurt out, or we become angry with another person because we're not living up to our own estimation or our own ideal. No need to get angry. No need to become upset. No need to become disturbed and take it out on somebody else who is working under your direction or under who is submissive to you because of his position. No need to do all of that. Main thing is we take responsibility for everything and anything that we do. And if we do something wrong, we accept the responsibility and we beg the spiritual master and beg the Supreme Lord to please help me, please correct me, please guide me. I don't want to create disturbance for devotees. I don't want to upset them. I don't want to make them frightened or fearful of me. Rather, I want to inspire them to love you. And how can I do that if I become angry to them, if I become upset to them? Of course, one who's in a position of high responsibility sometimes has to at least show or manifest some anger. Has to do that because if a devotee becomes very lazy, he becomes indifferent. As Prabhupada says, this is not a place for lazies and crazies. And if you are acting lazy and even a little crazy, then I'm sure our temple president will make it known to you by one way or another. So why would he do that? He may have to chastise. He may have to be a little show some anger to wake us up. Why wake us up? So that we begin to do what we came here to do. As I said, it's not a hotel. It's not a place to just lounge around and just talk about the good old days, which were really bad old days, terrible days. But they all seem very nice when you're thinking of only the pleasures of the bad days. That's generally what we tend to do. So here we have Lord Brahma. He has received the prayers of the demigods, and they're up in arms. How do we deal with this situation? So Brahma says, well, I will pray to the Supreme Lord, and I will. So here we now have Lord Brahma praying. And it's interesting because we can learn so much from these prayers. We learn, first of all, how to pray. What he's doing he's focusing upon all the blessings that the Supreme Lord has given. In this particular verse, he's talking about, you've given us water. And through water, what does water do? Without water, we couldn't sustain ourselves. The human body, 95% of it is water. So if you don't have any water, then what happens is that we all die. So Krishna is giving enough water. And water is for cleansing. We cleanse our bodies. We cleanse our cars. We cleanse our homes. Without water, what happens is that things have become encrusted. They become filthy. And they become smelly. So Krishna is giving us the opportunity to clean things. So water is a means to do that. Even in the Christian religion, one of the first rites that they have, there are seven sacraments, and the first one they have is the baptismal, in which the person is immersed in the water, and basically it's symbolic that the child or the baby is now being welcomed into the church and will live a life of purification, hopefully by following the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's the idea. And then a little later on, when they get a little older, they get what they call confirmation and so forth. The important point is, I'm just giving water, but Lord Brahma is glorifying fire. He glorifies the earth. All of the creations that the Supreme Lord has given. Now, one might say, well, wait a minute. Isn't Brahma the one who does the creating? Sometimes that question comes up. Brahma, he's the builder. But the plan maker is, the architect is Krishna. Krishna, he gives all the DNA codes and everything that Brahma has to have in order to do his job. So Brahma, he's a builder. It's like you go out and you see the construction site. And you see all these builders together, and they're putting bricks on, and some are digging holes, and others are putting up girders. So everyone is doing something different to raise the superstructure, or to build the substructure, where the cars or the garages is. So those are the builders or the workers that are going on. But originally, there's an architect, and the architect designs the plan. So when the plan has been designed, then the person who's in charge, such as Brahma, he then can have, he himself, as well as, if he wishes, he can have workers to execute the plan to achieve. And therefore, we have the 8,400,000 different species, which is the result of that. So everything ultimately comes from the Supreme Lord. And here we have Brahma. Glorifying the Lord. These are prayers of glorification, saying how amazing you are, how awesome you are, how majestic you are. It's inconceivable how powerful you are, the potency that you have. In other words, Lord Brahma is putting himself down in a little, tiny, insignificant position, even though he's the creator. But when you talk about your master, you talk about the person from whom you get your orders, and you keep talking about how great he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful, over and over in different ways, then in a sense, you are immolating or sacrificing yourself to the glory of the Supreme Lord. And so this goes on. Lord Brahma goes on page after page. He talks about how the Lord is not subject to the three modes of material nature. He talks about how God, although he is within the three modes of material nature, but is unaffected, he's never disturbed by them. He talks about how the Lord's blessings are always going to those persons who pray with sincerity, pray with love in their hearts, pray with a sense of helplessness, if not even hopelessness. Who beg the Lord, who are not ashamed or afraid to get down on their knees and put their palms together. So he's talking about how merciful, how kind, how sweet, how loving, how caring the Supreme Lord is. So Lord Brahma is going on and on. Now this is the way, if you want to, if we want to obtain some particular object, some particular gain, or some particular position, and we can't do it now because we don't have the potency to do it. We're bereft of it due to the reasons that was stated by Bhakta Strong. If we don't have that, then what happens is that we need to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So one of the ways of doing that is what is called pacifying. To pacify the Supreme Lord means that if Krishna is somewhat upset with the devotees because they've been acting offensively or acting wrongly or acting condescendingly or proudly, then of course we need to pacify means that I'm sorry if I have offended. I'm sorry if I've done this wrong. I should not have done this. Please forgive me. Please let me make it up to you in some way. When we speak to the Supreme Lord in that manner, he is pacified. And he's ready to put aside the offense because we are apologizing. And the apology has a heartening effect on the heart itself. And when the heart is softened and sweetened, we have an expression to soften up a person. When a person wants to sell somebody some goods, what does he do? He takes them to lunch and he gets them his favorite dish, his favorite meal. He gets them the dessert that he likes. He has to make sure the music is nice in the backgrounds and make sure that there's no untoward or dissonant sounds, that everything is just perfect. And so then he proposes his idea, and he tells him what he wants him to have. And he's in a mood to do this because, after all, he's just taken all this. This is what Prabhupada mentions in the book. He said, we have the Sunday feast. And one of the reasons is that, yes, to soften up the hard hearts of the karmis. And I'm not speaking in a condescending way, but let's face it, anyone coming out of the material world who's coming here just out of some curiosity and wondering what this is all about, he got a book, well, he gives them this incredible prasadam, he tastes his halava, and then he tastes the pakoras, and then he tastes the poppers and whatever else there is, the sabji. This is great. All right, well, once he said this is great, he's ready to hear what's in the book. Yeah, what's this all about? I can't tell you how many times that has happened to me, and I'm sure to everyone who does this type of preaching. So this is what Lord Brahma is doing. He's softening up the Lord. He's sweetening him. And as a result, and it works, because at the end of this pastime, what happens is that although Brahma at this point has never seen the Lord, he hasn't seen him. The demigods haven't seen the Lord. Lord Brahma goes to Svetadvip, which is an island in the ocean of milk, which is in the planetary system of Dhruva Loka. And he goes to this area, and that's where he's uttering these prayers. Now, he has never seen the Lord and the demigods in heaven, but these prayers are so effective, so potent, so pointed and right to the point, and they're so full of humility and surrender and submissiveness and begging, please help us, we can't do anything else without you. What happens? The Lord manifests himself. Brahma sees the Lord. All the demigods see the Lord. First, it's like a blinding light. You know, it's like when you come out of a movie theater, you know, and everything is, and it's a bright sunny day, you hardly can see anything because you're blinded by the light, but then gradually your eyes adjust to it. And that's exactly what happens in this situation. The Lord manifests in this brilliant light, is like hundreds of suns it's referred to as. And so what happens is that then after Brahma finishes his prayers, the Lord says, don't worry about it. Then what's going to happen is I will arrange you to resume or to regain your positions. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, the demigod, the demons right now are favored by the blessing of Durvasa and his curse upon you. So what will be done? And he tells them what they have to do. And that what's going to happen is that they're going to be throwing some all kinds of things into the ocean of milk. And then what will happen is that I think it's Mount Mundra will be used as a churning. It will be churned back and forth. And Vasuki will be used as the churning, I think it's churning rod. And what will happen is out of this will come the nectar of immortality. And once the demigods get the nectar of immortality, then the demons can't kill them. That's the whole idea. So the Lord has just reassured them that you don't have to worry. So here he was at the beginning. The Lord Brahma is praying and praying, and the Lord is pleased by the prayers, and now he wants to help them because they are in the proper mood, and he wants them to run the universe, not the demons, who unfortunately will run it in a very improper way against the rules, the regulations of the Lord. So I thank you very much for your kind listening. Are there any questions or any comments that any of you might have? Everyone agrees? Really? Okay, thanks again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.